This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Inadvertently or advertently, did the NHL change the way we will have All-Star games in the future? I believe that's an emphatic yes. If you watch the Four Nations final on Thursday this week between the U.S. and Canada, you're not alone. 16.1 million people watched that game. The most viewed non-NFL game ever on ESPN. And we have our detractors of people saying the fights were terrible, don't have fights, blah, blah, blah. But it drummed up it showed to me that when players care and when they clearly are invested in what this All-Star format is, it's really dang interesting. I mean, the days where you'd get the Pro Bowl, again, the Pro Bowl has always been the Pro Bowl, so maybe that's not a good example.
It's gotten worse.
But yeah. Listen to this. The NBA All-Star game this year, do you know what they averaged for viewers this year?
Like 100,000.
4.7. 4.7. That is 4 times less than what the Four Nations final got. 4.7 million viewers. Second lowest after the 2023 All-Star game. Major League Baseball this past year got 7.4 million. Again, I'm going to repeat this. 16.1 million people in North America were watching the Four Nations face-off final. And it tells me, it tells all of us, that you have to have something that players are invested in and care. And the fact that the NBA's All-Star version was garbage, it doesn't surprise me, Pete.
No.
We have NBA players that won't even play in regular season games, let alone an All-Star game.
It is such a difference, Dave, between the NHL and the NBA. It's not even close. It really is not even close as far as and by the way, P.K. Subban, you probably know him far better than I ever would, but he is as viral as it gets this past week.
Yes.
As far as some of his videos, and I couldn't agree more. And you've heard me say it forever, and I feel bad about Pop and the issue that he's got right now, but he was the guy who orchestrated this whole thing about load management and never have liked it. I can't stand the fact that Adam Silver in the NBA has allowed this to happen. They actually even play into this whole thing. Meanwhile, all you've got to do is see the Four Nations face off. You see what happened last week. You see what happened into this finals in the 2-2, and Canada did get the win, and it was impressive. It was amazing. And the amount of people that were watching, as you said, are just off the charts. But what I loved what PK had to say, in every aspect of what he said, I 100% agreed. He talked about the effort. And no one is bigger than the game. And all of these things, buckle up, strap it in, and pack a lunch because we're coming here and we're going into overtime. Everything he said was what we watched. We watched these guys. They are all in. Whatever country they're representing, they are all in. And I love that. And that is the coolest part about hockey, I think. I don't even know if the NFL is at the same level as what we were watching with the NHL. And it's just impressive as heck to me to watch. And he talked about pride and honor and being tough is the culture of hockey. Isn't that what the culture should be for all of these sports that get paid the money that they get paid? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I even watched just the other day Michael Jordan talking about with Oprah Winfrey, and he was talking with her about, hey, look, these guys are getting the money because of what we did, not for what they're doing. And you know, and, yeah. and that's why it's a different league than it was the NBA. So it's interesting as heck. I think it's amazing to see what the NHL did there. And I think that they hopefully will learn from that, Dave, where they're going to get rid of their All-Star game, right? I mean, I hope. Yeah. I would love for them to go this direction because this brings in not just the U.S., this brings in the world because everybody. They all want to watch, right?
Yep. Yeah, I tweeted after the game on Thursday, Canada wins the Four Nations faceoff, but the real winner is the NHL.
Yeah.
For 2 weeks in the middle of the season, the entire country was captivated by a tournament that meant nothing and everything at the same time, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's exactly what it was. It meant nothing but meant everything. If you looked at the U.S. players right after they lost, you could tell it meant something to them. Mm-hmm. And you're right. The NBA has a major problem. A major problem. And I don't understand why it's not being addressed more. Because at every single turn, Pete, almost every issue that we have with the NBA comes back to load management.
Mm-hmm.
Attendance. Are you really going to pay $250 a ticket if you're not sure if Anthony Edwards and I'll just use the Timberwolves as an example. If Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert and Julius Randle are all out, are you going to pay the same amount for a ticket? Mm. Heck no.
Right.
Are you going to go and then the Golden State Warriors come to town and Steph Curry's on load management. You gonna buy a ticket? No. I just everything that happens with this, the TV ratings, all of it, the lack of interest, it all comes down to the same thing at its very simplistic core. Guys are being paid to play and they're not playing.
Right. Yeah.
You cannot have a professional sports league where players don't play. That's called video games.
Yeah. Yeah, healthy, but hold out, right? I mean, that's what this really is. That's what we're talking about here, and it's a real problem. And this started, you go back to about 2017, Dave, where they started doing this at the NBA level. The All-Star game this year, by the way, was down 13% from last year. It's the second least watched game in event history. So,
but I bet their ticket prices didn't go down that much.
I guarantee you're right. Yep. They probably even might have gone up. But
sure.
It just shows you that you lose your fan base, and they are losing their fan base much faster. And you and I were talking about this off air, and Josh was as well, but we were kicking around the idea. I see what they say the value is of some of these NBA franchises. I don't believe it. I mean, because you're estimating when you do that, but I'm looking at, you know, multiple franchises in the NBA that they say, well, these guys are worth $6.8 billion. Really? Do you really think they're worth that? Because I really don't. I mean, especially, yes, they've got the contract with ESPN, but they're going to have to work things out. They might even have to massage this contract if the ratings continue to get as bad as they are, and they are.
They have a major problem.
Yep.
And we've said this so many times. It's generational, because we've talked about that with baseball before, where if you're not bringing young fans into the game, And you're not kind of cultivating that relationship, so to speak, you're going to lose them. You're just going to. And baseball's seen this, and we've seen this dip and change over the last couple of years. Now MLB's having to scramble and change the way they do things, the pitch clock to keep things going, and allowing people into the stadium so they can. There was a time where, and I don't think they still do it. I know they don't do it here, where they tried to charge for people to come in and watch batting practice. And I mean, that's terrible. You're laughing because it's terrible.
It is.
That's a great opportunity for a young fan to go down and meet Byron Buxton and get his ball signed and become a fan for life. You can't take that away. That engagement with fans. And all that to say is, if you're not cultivating that fandom now, and I think more than anybody, the NBA is not doing that anymore. Heck, even the NFL does games on Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least they're playing and trying to grab a different audience. They're not doing that in the NBA. And I think the more that this goes on, the more trouble it's going to be for them.
I've also noticed too with the Wild. I mean, you take that yesterday's game as a good example. 11:30 puck drop. There was a lot of people that usually I don't see tweeting about hockey were all over that game yesterday. It was granted, it was an exciting game to watch. It was pretty good, but you can already kind of see the ripple effect that this has created with certain people that are just casually watching, you know, the Four Nations tournament, and they're like, oh, wow, this is – maybe I'll continue checking this out because it's pretty good. Yeah. I think this was a genius move by the NHL, like you said, to place this right in kind of the void of not having anything sports-related going on besides, you know, college athletics. Professionally, there's nothing going on, and I think this was just a perfect placement of what there's not really any negatives to this tournament, I think.
Other than unless you're an owner of a team who lost a star player.
Yes, yes.
Right? Like Boston.
There was a couple.
The Boston Bruins are going to be, I guarantee you, are a little annoyed today because they're going to lose Charlie McAvoy maybe for the whole year.
Yeah.
I don't know to what extent Matthew Tkachuk was hurt, but I know that he missed about the second and third periods of that title game. So there's always going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
There is, and you have to weigh the risks, right? Like you have to weigh the risks of what's going to happen if you lose this guy. And I said this to my son. We were talking about the game this week. Because, well, they should just be playing and be happy. I said, how happy would you be if Kirill Kaprizov got hurt in that game?
Mm-hmm.
And then he was gone the rest of the year. Right, we would be furious and we would hate.
It'd be the top story in sports in this market.
Yes. So I get that's a real fear, but you have to push it aside for the greater good and longevity, I think, of the game.
What it shows me is, Dave, sorry to interrupt, but shows me is the NHL is delivering to the fans. They're giving the fans what the fans want. The NBA, they're all in it for themselves. It's all about money. They're all in it for themselves. And I will say this, just so it's clear, because you had brought it up, but Anthony Edwards does not do any kind of management. He plays every game. The guy, if he's healthy, he plays. And I love that about him because he's taken a page from Michael Jordan. He's taken a page from Kobe Bryant, players who did exactly what we're talking about here. And yeah, potentially you could get hurt. But the reality is they're playing to the people who make those salaries what they are. And I think that's where the NBA, unfortunately, has taken a wrong turn. And it's until they can flip that around, that's a real problem.
And you mentioned Michael Jordan. The one thing they talk about a lot in The Last Dance, and emphasize this point too, is he played because he knew there's somebody in those seats that probably won't ever see them. Like, getting a ticket in the Jordan era was almost impossible in Chicago.
Yep.
So unless you were somebody that knew somebody, you weren't going to go to a game. But when you were, he was going to make sure that you were able to see him play. And the NHL and NBA, unfortunately, is not enforcing that enough. You have so many people. Like, I would love to see LeBron once in my life, but I'm worried that the next three times LA comes here, it's not going to be him playing on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I pay harder money to go to Target Center and watch that game when LeBron's not playing? That's just a waste of money, and it's ridiculous that they view it as being above the fans paying their hard-earned money to see these stars play.
Yep.
And the reason Jordan always played too, which I agree with you, he was just a competitor.
Yeah,
like he couldn't
stand how he's built
to lose.
Yeah,
and knew if he wasn't in the lineup, they probably weren't going to win.
That's true.
That's a big part of it. But that's a big part of it versus this generation now. It's not about the team anymore. It's about me. I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I don't want to play tonight. And I don't care if we don't win. I don't want to play tonight. And that's, it's exactly what you're saying, right? I'm too sore to play tonight. Yeah. I don't care if we win or lose this game.
Well,
that's exactly what it is.
Not to go down this road.
All right, we're running
further.
Late.
I know we got to go to break, but like LeBron last week in the All-Star game, you wait till the late afternoon to announce you're not playing. So now you don't have somebody. You have somebody that probably could have been elected to the All-Star game.
Yeah.
They don't get a spot. It's a good resume. I know it doesn't mean much today in basketball compared to 10, 15, 20 years ago, but like you could have had a player get that spot in the All-Star roster and add that to the resume. Instead, you're like, afternoon of the game, my ankle's sore, not feeling it. No, I'm not going to play.
He was there for the picture.
Yeah, yeah. The publicity's there. That's never been a problem with LeBron. Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We'll talk a little. Let's talk a little more money when we come back, because the NFL salary cap, guys, is going to go up $22 million. That's a million with an M, pinky out when you say it. What does that mean for the Minnesota Vikings? We'll discuss it next. I joke about it, but we love you, Pete. And if I had arms the size of yours, I'd never wear sleeves either. I'll be honest.
They look extra big today.
Yeah.
No, I do. What are you talking about? He's been on me all day, Dave. The second I walked in the door, I take off a flannel shirt because I'm hot. You know, I've gotten used to this minus 20. I don't care. I'm a Minnesota guy, born and raised,
rises.
You know.
That's right.
Well, not born, but most of my life I was here. So, you know, when you move from minus 20 and all of a sudden it's plus 30, plus 40, it's a heat wave, bro.
your temperature's off. All right. Let's hit the headlines.
All right.
Byron Buxton from, this is from bringmethenews.com. Byron Buxton referring, who was he referring to when he hinted that the Twins clubhouse leaders when he was coming up were not very welcoming between 2015, 2016. Buxton said, quote, yeah, I'm a leader, but to these guys, I'm just one of the teammates. I'm just one of the teammates. Just reading that right. One of the brothers that they can come up and talk to. When you put a title on it and you have young guys that have come in here, they feel different, like they can't talk to you. And that's how it was when I came up. I'm not going to be like that. I want to be able to talk and communicate and do whatever you want to do and make yourself better as a player. Did Byron Buxton not get the treatment he deserved from guys like in that era, Joe Mauer, Brian Dozier, Trevor Plouffe, Torrey Hunter? Fellas, was there controversy back then?
He could be talking about his rehab or his training coach, because that's where he spent most of his career so far.
Okay. Great. That's a shot.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Dave, I will say this. The reality is this. It oftentimes happens in locker rooms where there are guys that aren't very welcoming, guys that are going to pick on you if for whatever reason, and then they give some other guys the pass. And for whatever reason, it sounds like Buxton was not getting the pass. He was getting kind of, you know, the negative feedback to a guy in the locker room. And I'll tell you, one of the things I did as a captain at the University of Minnesota when I became a captain, I said, look, all of this crap that everybody does, we don't do that anymore. You're not taping up a guy to the goalpost. You're not doing things that you think are funny to a guy who's brand new. He's come from somewhere else in the planet, probably, and he's in Minnesota for the first time, and he's just trying to adjust, and you're going to make it that much harder on him to do that. I think the locker room's a very important place, and I never liked any of that stuff, that a lot of the negativity is out there.
It does make a difference, doesn't it? Yeah. When you're not welcomed or don't feel like you have someone in those early years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. It's okay. Next headline from something called TalkSport.com. I don't vet these news institutions, by the way. I just pull the headlines. That's it. Caitlin Clark, in a recent Time interview, has revealed that fame has brought, quote, so much weird stuff. Her recent promo appearance treated like Tiger Woods, major studio show, blah, blah, blah. She was forced to use advanced security. The strangest request from a fan, singing a sonogram. Pete, this is bizarre.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing a fan's ever asked you to do?
Oh, I probably can't even say it on air.
No, not what Josh has asked you to do. What a different fan has asked you to do.
But it is interesting. I will say this: it's always interesting to me when people will ask certain things of you that you would just feels like it came out of left field. And there's most of them you really can't repeat, because I just had one the other day. I was walking through a store with my wife, and a person came up to me and asked a question that I just literally just stared him down and thought, are you really asking me that?
What did Josh ask you?
And I can't tell you what Josh asked me.
Take your shirt off.
He keeps talking about the shirt off.
It is weird.
But most of them you can't talk about. And I mean, just because it's just – you hear some weird things at times. And and believe me, 99% of the people are the nicest people in the world who might come up to you and ask a question or so.
Absolutely.
But there is that 1%, and every once in a while that 1% hits, and it's very uncomfortable.
I've never had anything really weird asked of me, but I remember, I will always remember this. I'll share this story. I probably shouldn't, but I will anyway. sometime many years ago at the state fair, we used to, you know, you'd sit at your table, fans would come through, shake your hand, take pictures, get autographs, which I never understood why anyone would want an autograph, but nonetheless. And a person came through, I'm not even kidding you, and shook my hand. And it's about 95 degrees outside with 150% humidity. But this person shook my hand, and it was incredibly slimy. Mm-hmm. And, like, there was something else in this person's hand. Oh. I don't know what it was. I don't want to know what it was. I just smiled and shook this person's hand, walked directly back to where our backstage area was, and doused myself in hand sanitizer.
Oh.
I mean, it was just, it may have been Josh. I'm just kidding.
It could have been.
It couldn't have been because you don't come to the studio, so I never see you anyway. So.
Yeah.
He's at the state fair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was the state fair, Josh. Yeah.
Well, you were probably on clean feed for that, too.
Yeah.
All right. He's just something.
Final one here from the New York Post. Anthony Edwards demands some respect from Barack Obama. Viral video reveals. Josh, play it.
I didn't think I saw it. What do you think about this young guy? He can hoop a little bit, huh?
Just a little bit, huh?
Yeah, I better stand down. I'm the truth.
So it's Barack Obama meeting Joel Embiid and Anthony Edwards. I believe it's Joel Embiid. And he sits there and he says to him, you know, you guys don't have to, you don't play, man. I'm the truth. I'm the best. To the former president of the United States, Barack Obama. Do you love this kind of swag that Anthony Edwards has, or is he out of line?
I think he's totally fantastic. I love the fact that he's so comfortable. And, you know, I think he still has respect, but he's being funny. He's got a great, clever sense of humor. He's a fun guy. And I like when he said, stand down.
Stand down, baby. I'm the truth.
I mean, how great is that to be that comfortable to somebody like that, right? I mean, somebody who's been the president of the United States, you know, arguably one of the most incredible positions there is in the world or whatever. And you just act like you're in the locker room. And I'll bet you this. I would bet you whatever amount that I think that Barack probably thought this is exactly what I want this guy. You know, this guy's great and this guy's got that swag and he's not intimidated by the moment.
And this was, I should add, this was at the 2024 Olympics that this happened. It's it's a documentary. The video has now come out. But I love it. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you can back it up, then say it. And I don't think anyone will doubt that Anthony Edwards has backed it up, right?
If you don't have that confidence, don't be on my team.
That's right.
Like, this kid is phenomenal. He's got a, like you said, Dave, he's got a phenomenal personality. He's got all the confidence in the world you need in someone who's a team leader. We all questioned at first, is this Cat's team or Ant's team? We now know, obviously, especially with him being traded, it is Ant's team, and for good reason. It is – the guy knows – doesn't even know his own limits yet. I don't think we've seen or even come close to seeing the height, the peak of Anthony Edwards as a basketball player. And that's scary if you're the rest of the NBA, because the whole world has already taken notice. Like, people know by now how real this guy is on the court. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I'd like his shooting percentage to be a little better. Yes. But other than that, I agree with you.
Yeah. Not take eight threes a game like he did the other night against Houston. Yeah.
Guys, he's 23 years old.
He's 23, man.
I mean, think about that.
The whole world is in front of this kid.
Yep.
Unreal.
Yep. All right, that's all I got. Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk a little Wild hockey. Jesse Pierce from Bar Down Beauties and NHL.com will join us next. The NHL season is back. The Minnesota Wild come off the break with a really gutsy win in Detroit yesterday, winning in overtime with Marco Rossi scoring the game winner. Jesse Pierce from the Bar Down Beauties podcast and NHL.com joins us. She joined us, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jesse, once again, Marco Rossi continues to, I don't even want to say surprise anymore, because I just think the kid has come into his own. Is there a more improved player or a more impactful and improved player on this team this year than Marco Rossi has been for the Minnesota Wild?
I don't think so. And you saw that a lot last year. I know Brock Faber garnered a lot of the rookie accolades, but Marco Rossi was in that conversation for quite a while, too. I mean, he really took the offseason seriously, both last season and this past, and came out and showed everybody all the naysayers. I mean, there's a lot of pressure that comes with being a ninth overall pick, especially in an organization like the Minnesota Wild, who's so hungry for success, so hungry to make a deep playoff run. And Marco Rossi kind of had a lot of that pressure on him, and unfortunate circumstances, you know, prevented him maybe from getting to that level. But the past 2 years have been some of his best, and to see him expound on what he was able to accomplish last year and just continue to improve it, especially with guys in and out of the lineup as key as they've been. Marco Rossi is one of the Minnesota Wild's best and most consistent players, which I think it puts him on a different pedestal as well.
Jesse, how excited are you about this Four Nations face-off? It absolutely captivated everybody, it seems like. International hockey has always been something huge, especially since 1980. But what did you think about this and the fact that this actually kind of went not quite head-to-head, but the NHL versus the NBA, which is what this has kind of turned into, and I think the NHL is on top of this one by about tenfold.
Oh, my gosh. I loved it. I mean, I used to work at USA Hockey a decade ago, so ever since then I've certainly been ingrained in international competition. And you get to see some of that best-on-best competition at the World Junior Championships, which I'm so excited to have in St. Paul next year. But that's at the junior level. And ever since they removed that NHL competition from the Olympics and from that international play, there really hasn't been an opportunity to see the best players in the National Hockey League go at it head-to-head and get these kind of super teams together. And I think what makes it so unique is hockey players are players that playing for their country means something. You know, you don't find that in a lot of different sports, right? You don't find necessarily where an exhibition game, I think that was one of the funniest memes I saw, where it was, you know, NBA players want to sit out in a regular season game, whereas NHL players will die for their country in an exhibition, which is essentially what the Four Nations was. But I think what I loved is that it did. It pulled in so many new viewers. Now, the challenge the NHL is posed with is, how do you keep them engaged in hockey? It's going to be hard, especially because those emotions can't necessarily be emulated. Those rivalries can't be emulated. And obviously, those line combinations cannot be replicated during the course of a regular season. But if you can somehow pull on those strings and let people know, hey, we got the Olympics coming. Hey, you loved Connor McDavid in this instance. Come watch him with the Edmonton Oilers as they make a push. I mean, lucky for the NHL, this toward the end of the regular season can be some of the most compelling, some of the most exciting, because every point matters. But yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. Overall, though, I love it. I wish USA could come out with that gold, but there's always next year.
Well, maybe Austin Matthews shouldn't have left the best player in the game alone in the slot to have a one-timer.
Be fair to Austin, Connor McDavid didn't do a heck of a whole lot throughout the course of the game. Similar to how Sidney Crosby in that gold medal game in Vancouver didn't do a heck of a whole lot through the 60 minutes, so maybe he just forgot.
But the great players find the way, Jesse, right?
They do. They do. That's true.
Jesse Pierce joining us in the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jesse, as good as this Wild team has been this season, I still think a part of their game, I think, is that needs to be developed a little more, is that power play. They're in the bottom of the league, the bottom half of the league with it. What do you see in your mind, what can change to make it better and kind of get them out of the cellar a little bit?
It's interesting because I know John Hines, he's a great coach in the respect that he's willing to tweak things. He's willing to change things and willing to change personnel, and he's tried different combinations. I mean, you go back to the beginning of the year, and on paper, when you've got Joel Eriksson, Kirill Kaprizov, Matt Zuccarello, Brock Faber, and you know, Jared Spurgeon on your power play, that is a solid power play unit, and it's incredible that it hasn't transpired onto success on the ice. So it'll be interesting to see what John Hines does to get that going, to get that clicking. You know, I think they've worked out some kinks in the penalty kill unit, which is also as important. But I think it's just a matter of those guys finding their confidence and taking the shot. I know I hate. I can't quite see everything the guys on the ice are. But more so, I do think sometimes the guys need to be a little selfish, be willing to take that shot instead of just passing it around and getting close to that. And that's where Joel Eriksson plays a huge role on that power play.
Hey, Jesse, considering all of the injuries that we've had this year, and it's unbelievable to watch how many injuries we've had, Is he almost a guy that you could say, you know, under the right circumstances, we win some games, we get some guys healthier, that this he could be considered for a coach of the year type of thing because of all of the different things that have happened and all the injuries that have stacked up this year?
Yeah, I think so, because you do. If you go back to last season, it's really not that different by terms of injuries. I know injury was kind of a big, I don't want to say excuse, but a big reasoning behind why the Minnesota faltered so bad is because they were dealing with injuries too. Again, Jared Spurgeon, Jonas Brodin, Kirill Kaprizov, Matt Zuccarello, the same guys that are the same key pieces have been injured this year. But this year, the team entered with a different mentality, a grittiness, a mental toughness almost, and that's something I know John Hines has really emphasized. I mean, when he was hired to replace Dean Evason early on in the season last year, he didn't say, I'm here to help pull you guys out. I'm here to jump in the trenches with you, was kind of his motto. You know, he was getting down in dirty, and I think he really ingrained in the guys, we don't want to have the same start as we did last year. We don't want to just roll over and say, oh, no, we don't have a Kirill Kaprizov. What are we going to do? I mean, this year you're seeing guys like Rossi step up. You're seeing guys like Brock Faber even continue to grow on their success, and Joel Eriksson-Ek play a huge role as well. And even the third and fourth line, you're seeing a little bit of that depth that Minnesota Wild needs. So I think John Hines definitely is a huge part of that. And the way that he approaches each game, even if it's a loss, as a not do or die situation necessarily. You move on. If you win, you move on. If you lose, you move on. Somehow you just have to scrap the good with the bad as well and take it game by game.
Jesse Pierce joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We are just a few weeks away here, Jesse, from the NHL trade deadline. Really quickly, Bill Guerin said this week, it sounds like Kirill Kaprizov is going to be out longer. He said, quote, I think he's going to be out longer than we originally expected. Does that change how they approach the deadline here, especially with the team playing as well as they are? They're obviously going to have to add if you're going to lose Kirill Kaprizov for an extended period of time. What do you think happens at the deadline in a few weeks?
You know, it's funny. When Bill Guerin met with us media members to announce that Kirill was going to be having surgery and missed time during that initial conversation, I asked Billy just that. I said, you know, March 7th will be here before you know it. What does this change your approach? And he said, it could. So to even go off of that, I think it has to. I think you just need to plump up that depth. You're going to have to rely on depth without a Kirill Kaprizov. There's no replacing a Kirill. It's on the guys that are on the ice. And so not only are you going to need the Matt Boldy from Four Nations, who played tremendous, by the way. I want to see that Boldy in a Wild jersey, and the Marco Rossis. But yeah, if you can add one more piece, Bill Guerin has done a tremendous job at the deadline adding the right pieces. You look back a couple years ago when he picked up Marc-Andre Fleury and got Gustav Nyquist. I mean, he's really good at finding
Jake Middleton,
Jake Middleton, right? Like, there are years that he's always adding. And I think regardless, Bill might have looked to tweak or add just because that's kind of the mantra he's created. But I think now it definitely feels he has to make an offensive addition. Now, what that looks like, I'm not sure, because again, as we've talked at length with, the salary cap is what it is. There's not a whole lot of money there. It's not going to be a big splash, but I think he'll definitely add a piece to at least help them out depth-wise.
Hey, real quick, I got one for you. How about Ryan Hartman? What's the future look like with this whole situation?
It's very interesting. I love Ryan Hartman. I love the grittiness that he brings. I think he's a solid third-line winger. He has a lot of attitude to him, which is really good. But also I can see Bill Guerin probably being not too pleased with Ryan Hartman with his kind of egregious penalty that not only resulted in 3 power play goals, but a 10-game suspension, which means you're down another forward. And as we just talked about, you can't afford that right now. So I would imagine it's a very short leash for Ryan Hartman. I know Bill Guerin loves the way he plays, too. It's the reason he got an extension. And certainly they've put Hartman on a very strict practice regimen, which includes a lot of bag skates, not while he works out the suspension. So he's definitely in the doghouse. Will that be explored as far as trade? Possibly, but, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see how it does unfold, because I know Bill Guerin likes him, and I know there's a value that Hartman can bring. He just really has to control the way that he plays the game sometimes.
Jesse Pierce, appreciate
you. Just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Appreciate your time. We are out of time today. Have a great Sunday, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.